morning or morning. Good morning, Rabbi Naftali. Parshas Niketz, Chanukah, Tov Shin Ayin Dalet. Vahi Niketz Shnosayim Yomim. At the end of 2 years, Ufaroi Choleim, and Paroi has his dream. The Medrash Tanchuma says, over here in Parshas Niketz, Kol Dovor V'Dovor Sheyotze Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, all the things that Hashem says or does, Bekitzva Hu Noisen, gives it with a boundary. Lachamo, to the sun, Nosan Gates, gave it a boundary. Shenemar, Miktei Hashomai Moitzoi, the end of the Shomai. Lashomai, into the heavens, Nosan Gates, gave it a boundary. Shenemar, Umiktei Hashomai, Vaktei Hashomai. Laoretz, Nosan Gates, Shenemar, Boyre Ktsois Haoretz. Le Yitzias Mitzrayim Nosan Keitz Shenemar Vimi Keitz Shloishim Shona Vrabam Yoshmona La Choyshech Nosan Keitz Shenemar Keitz Som La Choyshech. Darkness also has its end, its boundary. And likewise Shenech Vash Yosef, when Yosef was captured Keitz Nosan Loi Shenemar Vimi Keitz Shnosayim Yomim. The end had come. On Shabbos Parshas Baaloischa, Tov Shin Aleph, in 1941, there were over 100 Bokhrim were captured, were seized by the Russians. They'd been learning Torah, they did a very big crime. They'd been learning Torah under the communist rule in Lithuania. This I saw in a lot of today's things will be coming, which I saw in Rabbi Yaakov Kamenitsky, Galinsky. He has a sefer called Yigalato. Many beautiful things there. Now Bokhrim is still alive, is in Bnei Brak, and he says that on Shabbos Baal Oyscha 1941, they were all loaded up, 100 Bokhrim, and were sent to Siberia, put on a train to Siberia. They thought that they're extremely unlucky that they've been captured by the communists and their friends were free. They managed to escape the communists. Little did they know that the very next day the Germans invaded. And those people who were free perished. But anyway, they didn't know that. They felt very bad. And they were put on this train to Siberia to work camp. They were sentenced to 25 years in a work camp in Siberia for that crime that they dared to learn Torah underground in a yeshiva. Just the ideas, the mind-boggling what a gezeira is. 25 years of forced labor in Siberia because they learned Torah under the communists. It was such a grave offense. Gives us an idea what the gezeiras of the Yevanim were. So they were on the train. It took them a whole month to get there. Rabbi Angler says there are two comforts. Number one, that they were together, they were grouped together. They could help each other. And number two, that they packed their bags, and in their bags they took with them Sfarim, Tfilin, Mezuzahs, Shofars, Megillas Esther. They had what a Jew needs to survive in Siberia. And they were traveling to the White Gehenna, to Siberia. On Sunday of Parshas Matos Masei, they arrived at the work camp. But what happened right there? The first thing the Russians did, they confiscated all the religious items, all the Sfarim, all the Tefillin, all the Megillas, and all the Shofaros. And the Russians made a fire, and in front of the Bochrim, they burnt it all, put it in the fire. The feeling was terrible. It was a terrible feeling. They felt, they watching how all their Sfarim are being burnt, or Tefillin are being burnt. There's no hope. That's it. They're now under Russian rule for 25 years. Again, they felt unlucky. They felt their friends were free. They felt that they were being punished. A terrible feeling. That night, in the camp, so they got together. They found a dark corner, and they got together to be mechazik each other, because they were under yush. They were under despair. It was extremely, he says, if they would have been caught, it's unimaginable the punishment they'll get. That's called making an underground uprising, to be making a group together in the camp, but they did. Since it was a very dangerous thing to be done, so they got together and he said, whoever wants to speak can speak, but only for a minute and a half. Whoever wants to speak, say something to the tzibur, has a minute and a half to speak. Biankula says, I only remember one speech that was said. It was said by Rabbi Herzl Dugarchina Zatzal. And this is what he said. He quoted the pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Mem, that we read in after of Parshas Lech Lecha. And it goes the following: Loma Toyma Yaakov, Vatadaber Yisrael, Nistara Darki Mashem. Hashem is hiding from me. Ve'loikai mishpati yavor. Why is Hashem? The pasuk says, Hashem is bimastir. He doesn't want to see me. And mishpati, my good deeds, yavor. He's not giving me my reward, my good deeds. Says the Novi, Loma toima. Why do you say that? No, haloyodato im loishomato. Eloikai olam Hashem. Hashem made the world. Lo ya'af lo yigah, he doesn't get tired. Ve'ein cheker l'tvunasai, there's no end to his wisdom. That's the question and the answer. Yaakov is saying, Hashem is ignoring me. And what's the Navi respond in the name of Hashem? No, Hashem made the world. He doesn't get tired. Where's the teretz to the question? The question is, Hashem is ignoring me. What's the answer? Hashem made the world. Very nice, but he's ignoring me. Where's the answer to the question? He said, here's the answer. Because that when a person is going through suffering, he in fact has a double suffering. Number one, the present. The hoiva, the present, he's suffering. Number two, he thinks the same way Hashem is endless, is infinite. So the yisurim, the afflictions he's putting on me are infinite, and they're never going to end. That's what a person thinks. He doesn't see the end. I'm suffering, and I'm stuck with this suffering forever. That's what we think. This brings to yush. It brings to despair. Says the Navi, Hashem made the world. What did Hashem do? What do we see in the Medrash? Everything is with a limit. Everything is with a boundary. Don't think that what Hashem does is not forever. Because there's a gvul. Everything has a boundary. And right now, we don't see it. But there's an end to the choshech, and the darkness will finish, and it will come to the or, will come to the light. Therefore, even though right now we're suffering, but everything can change. And you think, it's how is it possible? Because Hashem is Baruch, He created the world. We don't see it, but He sees it. He sees it. He's infinite. And with that inspiration, it made such an impact that even though we're in Siberia, things are terrible, but there's a tzayis, everything has a gvul. And ketzam lechayshech. And it's true for Siberia, and it's true for us as well. The person who is suffering should know that ketzam lechayshech. Ve'imi ketz nosayim yomim. The ketz came and Yetzer was out. That was it. And so likewise, in any difficult times we're through, we have to be aware that there's a ketz, there's an end. And Hashem doesn't get tired. Lo ya'af lo yigaf. Ve'in cheke l'tkunasai. And things change. So that was such a powerful inspiration, and it's true for Siberia, it's true for anyone who is suffering to realize that there's a case. Things are not endless. The same pasuk again. Vayi mikeich nosayim yomim uparoi cholem. Says the Medrash, Kate Sam La Choshech, Kate Sam La Yosef, Kama Yeba Beisa Asurin, Kevan Shigia Kate, Vapari Cholim. Says the Beis Halevi, when we see someone invest money and he makes it, comes rich. So we see the investment as the cause and the money, the wealth, as the result. There's a Siba and a Masoivev. We see the Siba, the cause, is that he invested in the right place, the right time. The result is the money he got. That's a mistake. Really, it's the opposite. The Gzeira was you'll become wealthy. That is the cause. The result was he invested money in the right place, the right time. That was the result. Right. If we would read the political times, the political section in the papers in Egypt, we would see the following. Paroi had a dream. That's the cause. The result was Yosef became free. That's what they would write in the Egyptian times. What's the cause? And what's the result? The cause, what caused something to happen? The dream happened, and that caused Yosef to be freed. Dr. Medrash knows the other way around. Vahimi keich nosayim yomim. The time had come for Yosef to get freed. And what did that cause? The result was Pari Cholim. Pari had the dream. That's a very important lesson for us. That even though what we see, it's the other way around. What's behind it, it's only a result of the cause. What's the cause? The Gzeiras Shamayim. The good deed you did, the bad deed you did is the cause. The result is what we see. It's not vice versa. And again, in the same note, we have in this parasha again. Yosef, Pari calls out Yosef, and Pari says, "I've heard that you know how to interpret dreams." And Yosef interprets the dream, and then Yosef pitches in. Again, he was called to interpret the dream. He did. But then Yosef comes with advice. He says, "You know what? You're going to have famine, and you need to appoint someone to run your affairs, to make sure that you're going to keep your food from the rich years for the famine years. You need to appoint someone." And Pharaoh says, "You know what? He's an ish novoy. Let's take Yosef." Why did Yosef give this information, these eitzes, suggestions? He wasn't asked to give suggestions, to give ideas. He was asked to interpret the dream. Why did Yosef give eitzes to Pharaoh? Dr. Ramban over there says, Ramban on Pasuk Lamed Gimel, says Ramban, because he wanted to be chosen. Says Ramban, Oma Yosef Kolzeh, Bavush Yifchuru Oisai. Yosef wanted to get the position. So he told Parinu, appoint someone who can do it for you. And he was really meant himself. And indeed, that's what Pari did. Pari took him. Fine. So Yosef is playing the car. The question is, asked Rav Dessler, where has Yosef been till now? In prison. He got an extra 2 years in prison. Why did he get 2 years in prison? Because what he asked for. He asked, in the end of the last week's parsha, he asked the Sar Hamashkin, please remember me, Zachartani, Hoyseisani, get me out of here. Gets 2 years in prison for that. Just for that one speech, that one sentence he said, 2 years in prison. Didn't he learn his lesson? Why is he doing it again? He just learned to keep your mouth shut. Right on Kodesh Baruch Hu. He does again. He's brought to power and he says, choose me. And he says, you know, appoint someone. But didn't you learn your lesson? Do you want to be stuck put back in prison for another 2 years? What are you doing? So I fact of Desla and Chalik Dalit.
He didn't say him directly.
He didn't say, but he was okay. But he was that. Says the man that was his purpose. He wasn't asked to give etzes. He was only doing it because he wanted to be chosen. So why doing shtadlus? As I fact of Desla. Says of Desla, no. Yosef learned his lesson. Why? Because if we look in the Psukim, when Paroi calls in Yosef, and Paroi says to Yosef, in Pasit Hesvav, Ani shomati olecho, leimor, tishma chaloi niftor oisoi. I've had a dream, I know, I've heard about you, that you are an expert, you know how to interpret dreams. What is the first word Yosef tells Paroi? The first word he says. What does Yosef tell Paroi? This first word. Oh, I'm actually an expert. You know, you've got the right guy. What did he tell? What did he actually tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What did he say? Bil-Odai. What does Bil-Odai mean? Says Rashi. Ein ha-chokhma mishali. El-Elokim yiten nanyo. I don't know how to interpret dreams. I don't possess. You're making a mistake. You got the wrong guy. You heard about me, that I know how to interpret dreams? Mistake. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it. Can you imagine? You go to a top professor, you call him in. Here's the x-rays. Would you like to operate? And the professor will say, I know nothing about medicine. Oh, forget it, man. Forget this guy. Yosef's been in prison for 12 years. The chance of his lifetime has come. He's taken out the prison to speak directly to Paroi. Number one. And Paroi says, I've heard you're an expert. Yosef would say, yeah, I have experience. Yeah, I know something. I've done dreams before. Try it on me. He wasn't even asked to validate the information. Is it true or not? Just say, go on. But Yosef says, no. Bill or die, says first thing. What's he saying? Not me. It's not me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you think it's me, it's a mistake. He learned his lesson. Why? Because what we spoke about before, the Siba and the Masoved, the cause and the result. Yosef was doing a shtadlus. When he asked, when he gave information, appoint someone to run it for you, he was doing a shtadlus for himself. It all depends how you view the ishtadas. If you think ishtadas is the cause, it's going to create your salvation, then it's wrong, that's bad. That's a lack of bitokim. You think that you're doing something. But if you recognize it's a result, it's just the way Hashem runs the show, I just have to do my chovas ishtadas. It's just a result. That's fine. When Yosef asked, when he asked the Sar Mashkin, speak up for me, Chazal teach us, it was a lack of Hishtad, of Bitochen. He felt it was a cause, he felt he was being active. He was over Hishtadless. That was wrong, got punished. But now Yosef learned his lesson. Bilo die. I could just walk around the show. It's not me. I know nothing. If you're in that mind frame, then you recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So what are you doing right now? I'm just trying to activate the results. Oh, that's Mutzah. No problem. Empire. L'chatchila says, he spoke up. Choose me. Says Rav Dessler, that's why it was done so fast. That the Pasuk tells us, in Pasuk Yudal, Vayiritzuhu minabor. He was pulled out, rats. He was pulled out of prison, went straight to Paroi. Vayiritzuhu minabor. Russian rats. To run. So the Sforna actually says, oh, that's how Gula happens. Gula happens fast. But that says differently, no. It was an Isoyan, it was a test. When policemen interrogate people, they surprise them. When you're surprised, when you're rushed, you don't have time to think. When you have time, you plan. I plan my speech, I'll say what I want to say, I'll hide information I don't want to say. But when you interrogate people, they do fast. When people pretend, they give false names, so they wake them up in the middle of the night and say, Yankala! They see we respond. Because when things are done fast, it's hard to pre-plan. It's who you really are. That's what comes out. So it was a test on his status, test on his perspective. So he was rushed out of the prison. So he didn't have time to think. And what came out? Bilo Dai. That's what came out. Because Jesus was clear. He learned it. The struggle. It's all Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's not me. It's not me. It's not you. And even though I recognize the Kodesh Baruch Hu, that's my time to do Ishtadlus. It's what we spoke about. Vayimi keich nosayim yomim. For Pari Cholein. It's not that the dream caused Yosef to be taken out. Fakir. The time had come for Yosef to go out. Therefore, Pari Cholein. The Cholein is not the cause, it's the result. It's not the Siba, it's the Mesovev. And when you're in that mind frame, then Ishtadlus is permitted and right. Because you know it's just a result, it's not the cause. The dream. Oh, there's such messages in this dream. Kapara dreams about the seven fat cows, Paris Yophis. But then the thin cows come and eat them up. But when Paroi relates it back to Yosef, there's an addition. And in Pasuk Chof Alef it says, "Batavoyna el kirbeno." The thin cows swallow the big cows. "Veloy noida ki bor el kirbeno." You don't see any difference. "Umarein ra." Kasher batchilo, and they look as bad before they ate the big cows as after. Did nothing change? Pasuk Chof Aleph. We would think, yeah, the thin cows, they just ate the big cows. Okay, so we should see some impact. We have to recognize something from the big cow. No, nothing. There's no way you could recognize anything left from the big cow. And when Yosef interprets the dreams, he said it again. In Pasuk Lamed, he says, we talked about the years of abundance, the years of famine, and says Yosef, "V'komu sheva shnei rav achrehem," there'll be 7 years of famine. "V'nishkach kol ha'soiva ba'oretz Mitzrayim, v'kila rav es oretz," all the abundance will be forgotten. Voice of, there's such a message over here. No? We know there's something called pleasure. Pleasure. But when the bad times come, all the pleasures you've had don't counter the bad times. They're not there anymore. When bad comes, you don't remember, you don't know, there's nothing left of the pleasure. When a person's in the dentist, and the dentist says, "Hey, you're a naughty boy. What have you been eating? I see you have these huge holes. And the dentist starts to drill, he's putting out teeth and he's running away. And we ask the guy, he's under pain. We ask him, do you remember all the ice cream you've been eating? All that coke you've been drinking, do you remember that? No? Geschmack? What do you say? I don't remember what I had. I really have charata what I had. And there's nothing left of it. All of that pleasure he had doesn't exist anymore. It's not that, you know, he had 20 kilos, he had 100 liters of coke, and now he has some pain. Okay, weighing him up, actually the pain's more. It doesn't there. There's nothing left of it. It's loinoida kibar kebeno. And when the thin cows eat the fat cows, there's nothing left of the fat cows. It disappeared, and all you left is with the bad. That's such a message. And the same thing we see in Chazal about when they talk about the Churban HaBayis, when there was hunger, everyone suffered from hunger, and it could be you were rich and you've been eating huge amounts of food for all your life. But when you get hungry, you're hungry like everyone else, even worse. You're actually in a worse state. People are used to a higher standard, they suffer more than people who are used to lower standards. It's true for the Churban HaBayis, it's true for the Holocaust. When they were suffering, all of us, all the years of good times they had, gone. They didn't exist anymore. So what's the Eitzah? So what should we do with abundance when we have good years? What are we supposed to do with them? So after Yosef, and Pasim Em Zayin, Vata Sa'oretz B'Sheva Shnei Asoiva Likmatzin. What does that mean? This is Rashi. Koimetz al koimetz, bit by bit, store it away. Take, and store away. Take and store away. Keep it. But what can you store away? When we have the good times, what could be stored? Says the pasuk in Pasuk Nun Hey. Batir av kol eretz Mitzrayim. The whole country was hungry. Why? But they've been storing. Everyone's been storing. Says Rashi, Shirkivot v'oisem she'otzru chutz m'she Yosef. Everyone's, whatever people have been hoarding away, rotted, except for Yosef. So they all, even though they tried to store it, they stayed hungry. So what do we see? Not everything can be stored away. So what can we store away? What can we keep that won't rot? What can we keep that will have, even bad years will have it? What could we keep? Abaisai, what do you say? Huh? Turn the mitzvahs. That's what you can keep. Everything else will disappear. And you're not even going to remember. It won't mean anything to you anymore. Either in this world or when you leave. And the Tana says in Ovis, Paragraph Mishnah Yud, the Shas, the Rosh Hashanah, when a person has to leave, depart. They don't accompany a person, and not his cars and his houses and his yachts and his planes. They don't accompany him. What does he take with him? The Torah or Ma'asim Tovim that he takes with him. So the message is, keep. You've got to realize that when things are good, it's not going to stay with you. That good is going to disappear. And when the hard times come, either here or later on, when we leave, you're not going to remember. There'll be nothing left of the good times. The ice cream and the cake and the pleasures, there's nothing left of it. What should we do? We need to keep, store away. But what can we store away? To put stuff in the bank account? It's also not going to, it's not internal. It's Torah mitzvahs, do another mitzvah, another bracha, another 5 minutes of learning, another good chesed. That will keep. That's what we have to learn. To store away, and that will take with us, that will stay with us for eternity.
What was that?
I once I was in Shabbat Nisha Torah. So you know there's a very wide audience there, you know, beginners. So I offered, you know, a hypothetical question that there's Someone wants to give you all your dreams. All your dreams should be true. And there's a donor who's willing to pay whatever you want. What are your dreams? You want to travel the world? You want to have food? Whatever you want. So we'll give it to you for 10 years. We'll give you all that you want. Travel guides, helicopters, everywhere you can travel the world. But one condition. At the end of that period, we're going to put two wires to your head, press a button, and you'll forget everything that you did. You just have no memory. You could eat all the food and have and enjoy yourself, but you're just not going to remember it. That's all. No, it won't be painful. Who's interested? It'll be 10 years of your life. Those 10 years of your life will be blank. You have no idea where you went, what you did. I was in the southern hemisphere, the northern hemisphere, in space. You have no idea. Who's interested? What do you think most guys said? The dream of your life, you have all the pleasures you want. What do you think most guys said?
Oh, they still take it.
Yeah? Well, okay, that's your, what do you think? What do you think, Mordechai? I have a Pesach. What? You get, but you have nothing left behind. When that period is over, you're left with nothing, even without memories. But we'll ask, what did you do last year? Don't know. No idea. Most guys were not interested. They said, no, it's not worth it. I need something. I need tachlis. It's not worth it to have pleasure if nothing comes out of it. But just be blank. Have at least the memory. But not even to have the memory, it's not worth it. Most guys, like 95% of the guys, would say, no, not interested. So what do we see? That pleasure is not the value of itself. It's only if it gives you something. So we think we have the ice cream, it'll give us pleasure and we'll keep it. That's not true. Because we're going to forget about it. We'll just be left with the holes in the teeth and the calories. They're not. It's a sheker. So, and that's true for the whole of this world. It's only worth something if you use it, if it's something you can keep. And what can we keep? Nothing. Except for Torah, Mitzvah, and Tefillin. Nothing can we keep. Okay, later on in the parasha, we have the brothers coming to Yosef. And Yosef accuses them of being spies. He then seizes Shimon and he says, you want him back? You have to come and bring me Binyamin. And they go up to Yaakov, and Yaakov, they tell him, we need to bring Binyamin. And Yaakov initially doesn't agree, but then there's hunger, there's no choice, and Yaakov is very upset. And he says in Perek Mem Gimel Pasuk Vav, Vayom Yisrael, Lama Hari Oisimli. Why do you do bad, Ra? Lagid Laisha Oidlachem Ach. Why did you do me this disfavor? Why did you do this bad to me that you told this guy that you have a brother called Binyamin? Says Chazal, says the Medrash Rabbah. In Perek Tzadik Aleph, Ois Yud. Never did Yaakov ever say something that's bottle, in vain. Elokan. This is the only time in Torah what Chazal is saying is something of batola. Omar Kodesh Bochu. Ani oisek lahamlich es bnoi b'mitzrayim. I am busy trying to make his son to a king. Vu oimer lama hari oisem li. And he calls it bad? Medrash says, you call it bad? I'm involved in making your son into a king. You call it bad? Later on, in Parshas Vayichi, or maybe Vayigash, Yosef tells his brothers, "Atem choshavtem olai ro, Elokim choshev lo toivah. It was all for the good. His whole plan was for the good. But Yaakov, Chazal had a time on Yaakov. On this point, you shouldn't call it bad. The Mishnah says in Ovis, Mishnah says in Brachos, in the ninth Perek, Chayav Odom Nevorech Ad Ara, Keshem Shem Nevorech Ad Atoiva. The same way, you thank for good, you've got to thank for bad. Says the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos. The Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos says over there that this concept of how to look at bad, the dovor she kol the dovor sichli, it's a bari aseichel. It's something logical. Afilu lo hayra ola bakosuv. Even if we wouldn't have a pasuk to teach me this idea, it's something logical. Lifi shesh dvarim rabim. Nirim betchilasam tovim. There are many things that initially look good. V'yeachrison ra rabo, but the end is very bad. V'alken en roi lamaskil lishtoimem. It's not worthy for a person to be upset when bad comes to him. Mipen she'eni yodei asoifo. We don't know what the end will be. Things that good turn out to be bad, and things that bad turn out to be good. Therefore, it's a dovo sichli. I don't need the pasuk to tell me this. That don't be upset, don't be angry when bad happens, because you don't know what's bad. The Yerushalmi in Horius, Paragim Alochadarat, says a story. Maiser Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva. They went to a place called Cholas Antuchia to collect money. And there was a donor there called Yehuda. Abba Yehuda was his name, and he would give very generously. One time it happened, he lost his money, and he saw the Chachamim coming, and he was very upset. So he ran home to hide from them. So his wife asked him, Ma ponecha choylani yois? Why do your face look so bad? Your face, you look ill. What's wrong? He told her, because Rabbi Seinu can, ve'eni yodea ma'ese. They're here, the great Rabbonim are here, and I don't know what I can do. So his wife, who was a bigger tzaddikus than he was, he said, look, you have one field left. Sell half the field and give them the money. Sell half the field, you're left with half the field. That's what he did. He sold half the field, gave them his donation. They gave him a bracha. Immediately afterwards, says the Yerushalmi, as they went, he went down to plow the last half field he has with his cow. And as he was plowing, all of a sudden the ground caved in and the cow fell in and broke. Can you imagine the mom's all the misfortune? He's doing stock, he's doing mitzvahs, and even his last field and his cow breaks. He goes down. Yorad La'aloitza goes down into this cave to bring it up. Veheir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Einov U'motza Sima. Hashem enlightens his eyes and he sees a treasure. Omar L'toivasi Nishbaro Regel Parosi. It's for my good that the leg of my cow broke. It was for my benefit. Now he saw it. This has become a phrase, because the Yor Rabba, the Perek Yutes, brings about the breaking of the Luchais. When Moshe broke the Luchais, Bo'ose Shor Nigzor Yisrael, they had to learn Torah mitoich tzar, mitoich shibud, mitoich tiltul, mitoich tiruf, mitoich adoichak. That moment when Hashem, when Moshe broke the Luchais, the whole Torah has to be learned now, not with tzar. But Lasid Lavoi, Hashem will pay us schar kiflei kiflaim. Therefore, the Toivasi Nishba Regel Parosi. This came in a concept. It's for our benefit. We gain out of it. So we see that even when sorrows come, we still gain. People have shidduchim, know, you are offered a certain shidduch. Then you find out that later on in life, you find out that you should get to marry someone else, you find the problems. There are many things in life we think initially we lose out, but really all for our benefits. So, can I go another few minutes? I want to say a Hanukkah word. Or you're saying? What? There's a Hanukkah, there is. I'll just go over a few more minutes, okay? Just, you don't mind. It's Miketz with Hanukkah together. We saw how Yosef, he was asked to interpret the dreams, but he gave aid and says, you know, you should appoint someone to run your affairs. So I want to tell you two things I saw by Bianca Galinsky, but they seem to be a contradiction. And he says of a story, he says, after the 6-day war, so he was invited by Rabbi Yaakov Edelstein from Ramat HaSharon to give a shir, to give a lecture about the 6-day war, what we can learn from it. There are many officers, there are army men there. So fine. So he went to give a shir, to give a shmuz. When he arrived, he was told the itinerary has changed, and they don't want to hear a shir, they want to have a question and answer session. He wasn't interested because he wanted to direct the discussion. He didn't want them to run the discussions. He said, look, I was told to give a lecture. You want question and answer? Let's have a story. Story, everyone agrees. Can I tell you a story? There's a story of Rabbi Kiva Eger. There was the Baal Tokea, the shofar blower, who became a maskil. He went off the derech. So Rabbi Kiva, right? See, it wasn't appropriate for him to be the Baal Tokea for Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Kiva Eger fired him. So he went to the Malshin. He went to the ruler of the city to say how he has been discriminated. So the ruler of the city called him Rabbi Kiva Eger, says, this is true? He had discrimination? He said, no. You understand? He's had an upgrade. Why? What's the upgrade? You know that the peak of our high holy days is Yom Kippur. So till now, this Baal Tokea was blowing on Rosh Hashanah. But now, he's got an upgrade to blow on Yom Kippur. So now he'll blow for us at Yom Kippur. The pinnacle of Yom Kippur is Ne'ilah, and just after Ne'ilah, he'll blow the shofar. So the Moshe, the Buddha calls in this father, your stam be Moshe Shemra on Rabbi Kiva Eger. See, this guy, he knew the guy wouldn't appreciate that you know, this is the Raisa, that's just a minhag. But he says to Rabbi Kiva Eger, he says to this guy, that, no, it's not true, because on Rosh Hashanah I was blowing 100, I had 100 skiers, and Yom Kippur I only get 1 skier. The guy says, no, I don't accept, because once the shofar is in your hands, you can blow as much as you want. It's unlimited. Once you have it, you can blow as much as you want. So he said, I have the microphone in my hand, well, I'm going to continue to speak as much as I want. And he said what he wanted to say. He told him a story about the hospital that Chaim Oizer was building, that kosher food, and the gvirim were there, and each one was giving out, I think it's 2 beds, he gets 5 beds, and some yeshiva brochen came in, and he said, oh, what about them? He said, they give half the hospital. They give half. What, these yeshiva brochen? Yeah, because they give, in their schus, they have all the beds that we don't need. So he didn't know if that's what they wanted to hear, but that's what he wanted them to hear. That. So therefore, what's it got to do with us? So Yosef, he got the microphone. He was there, he was speaking to Paris. He said, he said, appoint someone. So what's the message? Parents, the microphone's in your hand. Speak. You mechanech, speak. Use the microphone. You have talmidim, be matrich them. Be mechanech them. You have children, speak, speak. Be mechanech them. Give them what they need to hear. That's what we learn from Yosef. Yosef got the microphone, he spoke. This is chelek aleph. Okay. Now Hanukkah. And let's see if they contradict each other. So we learn the idea that be poil, you can speak, be mechanic, speak, influence. On the other hand, you have the Ramban in Parshas Vayechi, Perek Mem Tes Pasuk Yud, says the Ramban that the Chashmonoim were Chasidei Elyon Il Molehin. This is what the Ramban praises them. Nishtakhu HaTorah VaMitzvos MiYisrael. The Chasidei Elyon, if it wouldn't be for them, Torah and Mitzvos would have been forgotten from Amisov. Isn't that amazing about the Chashmonoim? Yet they got very, very seriously punished. And all the Chashmonoim were killed. They were all killed in battle. And the Gemara says, and they're completely wiped out. And the Gemara says in Bava Basra, Gimel Amud Aleph, whoever says that he is the descendant of the Chashmonoim is an Eved. The Gemara in Bava Basra, Gimel Amud Beis says, Kol man da Omar mi beis chashmonoi ka asina, I come a beis chashmonoi avdahu, because they have no more descendants. Only the avodim took over. They're completely wiped out. There are no more zera chashmonoi. What happened? Chasidei Elyon who saved Torah mitzvah. It's not something from the newspaper. It's a Ramban giving them the title. Without them, Torah mitzvah would have been forgotten. Yet they were completely wiped out. Shoah, gone. Makara, what did they do? So the Ramban, because they took Melucha, because they ruled, and they were over what the pasuk says, Lo Yosu Shevet Mi Yehuda, they had no right to be a melech. The Ramban also says, since they're Kohanim have to avoid her, they shouldn't be doing Melucha, and therefore Midah connected Midah, they were unappropriately taking over control, so therefore the Avodin took control over them and wiped them out. Unbelievable. The Mishnah says in Ovis, B'mokim she'ein anoshim hishtadad yois ish, where there's no people, you be a man. The Ovis Perek Beis Mishnah Hei says about Tanura, to be paskin, to be the head, there's no one there being head, you should be the head. But the Gemara in Brachos says, Mem Gimel, B'shas ha-machnisim pazer, B'shas ha-mefazrim kanes. What does that mean? B'shas ha-machnisim, says Rashi, when the Chachomim are machnisim, they are not teaching Torah to others, but to themselves, then pazer, you should go and spread out, teach out the Torah. But B'shas ha-mefazrim, when the Chachomim are mefazrim, spreading out the Torah, sekanes, you should be into yourself. So a person have different periods in life. When there's a need, gotta be man, gotta be a teacher, gotta be a leader. When there's no need, step back. It's a very difficult thing. We see the Gemara in Menachos says in Daf Kuf Tes, Omer B'Sholem Parachia, B'Tchila, Kolo Omer Aleila, whoever would tell me, take a position, be a leader, Ani Koyftoi V'Noisen Fnei Ari, I would tie him up and feed him to the lion. V'Ato, but now, after I'm ready a leader, Kolo Omer Li Lered V'Menu, whoever will tell me, resign, Ani matil of kum kon shalchamin, shoop, I'll throw the kettle in his face. This is Rabbi Yeshua ben Prachya. Initially, if someone tell me take a position, I would tie him up and feed him to the lion in the zoo, in the lion's den. But now whoever told me to step down from my position, I would throw boiling water in his face. Where did he learn it from? From Shaul HaMelech. Initially, Shaul, when he was appointed, he tried to hide. He didn't want to take the position. But after he became king, David HaMelech, he wanted to kill him. Why? Because competition. Once you're there, very hard to step back. Bianca Legrinsky tells us.
So, Rabbi, Yeshua was then.
Yeshua ben Prachya.
Yeshua
ben Prachya.
So, in other words, he was saying that he was in a position there, it was the Yetzer Hara at the end? Or?
What, at the end?
Meaning, if you're going to make that as a mashal to the Hashmonaim, then you're saying that he was very much into the Kabbalah at that point because he got the position, or?
I can't say why. We're just made the facts. The facts are they're supposed to step down. That's a fact. Why didn't they do it? I could guess. You could guess. These are the hard facts. That the Ramban says that's the way they were punished because they didn't step down. See, he brings that Rabbi Ruchem in the Slabodka Yeshiva in the First World War. So they had to, the Slabodka Yeshiva had to go to a place called Kremenchuk in Ukraine, and Roshiva was stuck in Slabodka, which is Lithuania. They're separated. So Rabbi Ruchem, he became Roshiva. He was the Roshiva and he was running the Yeshiva. And a year and a half later, when Roshiva came back, the moment Roshiva came, Rabbi Ruchem said, "Take his Yeshiva, Baba, I'm going. You can stay around, because you're Roshiva." He stepped back. But Bianca Glinsky tells us, he says, if you know who I'm talking about, you know, you don't know. I don't know who he's referring to. He says that there was a period in the yeshivas, there was a big machom about the musa. I don't know much why it's atri kach, but there's a big machlekes about yes to know musa, not to know musa. So it's a certain yeshiva, says, if you know who he is, you know. I don't know who he is. That the Roshiva had to step down. There was such a balagan with the Musa. The Roshiva had to leave. He had to leave. And then a Mashiach came in from Slabodka. And he ran the Yeshiva. He got everyone together. Made everyone on the same page. And he re-invited the Roshiva to come back. The Roshiva came back. And said, Shakoyach, thank you for running the Yeshiva. Now can you please leave? Yes, because Ein Shtei Malachim Meshamshim Mekesa Echad. I can't. There's going to be a conflict. No, I have my way, I have your way. I thank you very much for helping my yeshiva. But now please leave. That's where's Hakoras HaToyv? Hakoras HaToyv is true, but Hakoras HaToyv doesn't mean I have to give the toiva back. He did me a toiva, but it's not possible for me to be in yeshiva with him because we're two drachim. It's not going to work. This is the idea that sometimes that you have to know how to step back. Do good, be the ish, be poil, do what you have to do. When time comes, step back. And what's the message for us? Parents, you have your children, you raise your children, you mechanech them. Beautiful, amazing. But later on in life, if you continue to be there and giving advice and telling what to do, rebuking them, you could be ruining them. You have to know, lay the knife, step back. I say, Adkan, I did what I did, but now that's it. Now I'm not doing anymore. So is this a stira? On one hand, we learn, you have the microphone, speak. Speak out. On the other hand, step back. Is it a stira? Is it a contradiction? What do you say? Huh? I don't know. Not a stira. What's the terrace then?
Within the right time.
Right. Depends when. When it's appropriate, then speak. Use your influence. Your kids are still young. Your Shabbos day. Use them and speak. Use the opportunity. Don't stop. Give them whatever you can give them. Be madrach then. But you have to know not to do the mistake the Chashanayim did. They did the wonderful thing. They fought the Yavanim. That's wonderful. They saved the Torah. But the fact they stayed there, they should have stepped back and said, Adkan, I step back. That's it. Melucha is the door, not for us. So that's the message we need to take. Use the inferences we can, but to know, realize that time will come, it may not be appropriate anymore. We should step back and be quiet. Donuts, we'll have the Hanukkah share shortly. 2 minutes.